to be exact. Let me get this figured out here. I fell in love with a young lady. She sits right over here. And our initial relationship was through was at Iowa State, and I lived on one side of the campus, and she lived clear on the other end of the campus, and so it was a mile walk between the two of them, it seemed like. And you know, having different classes and different majors and all those types of things didn't always allow for us to be together, and so there was always a longing in our hearts, in my heart, I should speak for myself, to be with her. And then when summer came, it was terrible because she lived in Rolph, Iowa, and I lived in Hampton. It was an hour and a half between the two of us, and we could only see each other maybe once a month. And there was no FaceTime, and there was no texting, and there was no cell phones, and it was long-distance call to call over there, so you didn't call. You wrote letters. What is that, anyway? A letter. I just wrote a letter to my grandson in the military because they can't have anything other than letters. And so we wrote letters to one another, and we expressed our love through those letters and the longing that we had to be with one another. If you have been around anybody who has been married a long time, you know, 60 to 70 years, you're going to find out that everything in their life has faded to nothing except for their connection to each other. It's the fact that they're together. They just want to be together. That's it. They don't care about all the stuff. They don't care about where they live. They really don't care about a whole bunch of stuff. They just want to be together. And that's the longing that's in the human heart. And today we're going to read a story. Actually, going to read some passage out of 1 Thessalonians, where we're going to see this tone, this loving tone of a really a pastor, church planter for a group of believers who just in the last 3 or 4 weeks had come to Christ, and he was concerned for them. And it's this concern, this deep longing that we're going to see today that is between a person, a brother in Christ, and a brother in Christ, or a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, a sister in Christ to a sister in Christ. Whatever you want, however you want to phrase it, it's that deep longing of love for people. Now, we're in the middle of a series called the Stay on Target. And this particular series deals with 7 truths that keep us living for God in troubled times. And we've already established, and we already know that we live in troubled times. These are the most difficult times. And every day I hear something new about what's happening in our world. And I think to myself, that can't happen. In fact, this morning I was talking to somebody, and they told me something that was going on that they had actually seen documented evidence of in our world. And I said, that can't happen. That's unbelievable. And every day I hear something unbelievable about what's happening in our world, and it's never good. It's very seldom. Now, I do hear good things, okay? I hear what God is doing in our world, and I rejoice in that. I rejoice in the miracles that he is doing. And literally, he is doing more miracles today than he has in the past, I believe, because as the dark gets darker, the bright gets brighter. And so we can expect to see God do major things in our lives as we walk into these troubled times. But he has some things he wants us to know about how to stay on target. And the last 2 weeks, we've talked about the gospel. That the gospel is the thing that keeps us on target. The good news of Jesus Christ keeps us on that target, and the fact that we are messengers of that gospel. If we do not keep those things as front and center, we will fall off the map. We will fall off the target. And so everything we do ought to revolve around this idea of how do we share the good news of the gospel with the people that we're around. That is the center of the target. That's how you stay on target. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you again to be praying for opportunities to share your faith, the hope that you have, with the people you come in contact with in your life, because that is where we stay on target. Quarantine has a way of moving us off target and getting us off topic. The topic is, who is Jesus? Because I firmly believe that Jesus is coming back really, really soon. really soon. And so we need to save some people from the pit of hell. We need to give them opportunity. So let's read this morning about this love letter that Paul has got here. And I haven't got this on the screen. I want to encourage you in the next weeks to just bring your Bible or bring an iPad or your phone or something to read with me, because we're covering a lot of scripture and it's just impossible to put it on the screen and to keep it going. So we're going to start with verse 17 of chapter 2. I'm going to read all the way through chapter 3. Dear brothers and sisters, are we separated after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you? We tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before the Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and our joy. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother in Christ, our God's co-worker, and in proclaiming the good news of Christ, we sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles, for even while we were with you, we warned you that the troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. And that is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and your love, and he reports that you always remember your visits with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. And it gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you because of you we have a great joy we enter the God's presence. Night and day I pray earnestly for you, asking God to let me see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy people. Amen. You see, this passage is really about this idea of love. Paul loved these people, and the reason he loved them is because they were family. Now, it says here in this particular passage, dear brothers and sisters. In some translations, it says brethren. Okay, so brethren is a family term. In fact, in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he uses these terms 21 times throughout those two books. That's a lot of brethren, a lot of brothers and sisters. What he's saying is, we are family. We are connected to one another. Oftentimes, we say that that blood is stronger than friendship, okay? So your relationship through your blood to your family is strong. Well, I want to say to you that we have a blood relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ. The blood relationship is what we just remembered. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that runs through our veins as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are family. And that's what Paul's saying here. Remember, first of all, when you want to love people, you have to understand that God has asked us to love one another. That's what Jesus said to us. He says, a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so we are to love one another. Now, we live in a world that is now calling out for love. We were watching a program, and they were talking about, they were singing the song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Okay, it's a beautiful song, okay? It's a beautiful song. But nobody ever defines love. It's just this nebulous thing out here that we all feel really good. We get our come together and we'll have a hug, and then when we turn around, we'll stab you in the back. Because love in our world is not love. Love is just whatever you want it to be. But God has got some definitions on love. He tells us what love is. And so as we move through this, we are family. We are to love one another. But how do we love one another? Well, Paul, in this passage, tells us how he is loving these people. He shows us how to love. And the first thing we understand about love is that love shows concern for one another. It shows concern. It says here, we could stand it no longer. Do you remember the love letters and my longing to be with Rosemary, okay? I mean, maybe you have someone like that in your life. You long to be with them. When you're apart, you long. When he could stand it no longer. In other words, he had been away from these people so long, and he was afraid for them. You read that. You heard that in there. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that your faith was no longer present. Do you ever feel that about people? About your brothers and sisters in Christ? And you look around and you say, where are they? And so you think to yourself, how can I help them? When we can stand it no longer, it says he sent Timothy to visit you. It also tells us that Paul wanted to go see them a lot. And it says that Satan hindered him, prevented him. Satan has a way of doing that. Now, we don't know how that happened. We don't know what happened. Perhaps Paul was in quarantine. Perhaps they had told him that if he comes there again, they're going to kill some of his people. We don't know what was going on. We just know that Paul couldn't go. And because he couldn't go, he was upset. But he sent Timothy, who was his mentee in the faith, and he sent Timothy to show his concern for these people. We need to show concern for the people that are around us. Now, in this quarantine time, in this COVID time, we have talked often about look, remember, call. Okay? The idea is look around you to the people who aren't here. If you remember somebody, make sure you make a contact with them. Well, I'm going to suggest to you that God is in the business even more than that this morning. Okay? That God is already bringing people to your mind that you need to be in contact with. Throughout your week, throughout your days, a name is going to come to your head. And you're going to say, well, what is this all about? I haven't thought about them for ages. God gave you that name that you may make contact with that person so that they evidently need you at this very point in time. And oftentimes what happens is when we get a name in our heads, well, I haven't got anything to give to them. I don't have anything that would benefit them. And I would say to you, no, God knows what you have is exactly what they need. And so make a call. Or by all means, go in person to their house. Even if you have to talk through the door, okay? Your face is more important and your presence is more important than anything. Notice it says, he didn't give them a telephone call. Well, I understand, he didn't have one. He didn't text them on their phone. I know, he didn't have that. He sent them a letter, but you also notice what he did is he sent a letter, but he also sent what? A person, a face that they knew. Why? Because the face of a person is more important. Their presence is more important than anything. Have you ever had someone in the hospital, okay, and they're a friend, and you just go and you visit them? You just go and you go into their presence, and when you walk in the room, what happens to their face? It lights up. Because they're tired of looking at people in gowns and masks. They want to see a real person who they know. You see, our presence in the lives of other people shows our concern for them. So here's an application. Today, show your concern to somebody with your face. Go out of your way to do it. Because that is the first way that we show concern, that we show love to one another. We show love by our concern. The second way we do it is through encouragement. Now, in February and March of this last year, we spent a whole series on encouragement, okay? You can go back in our archives on Podbean, thank you, on Podbean, and you can listen to these. If you want them, I'll give you the copies of the sermon. But we talked about what encouragement meant, and there's all kinds of stuff on what encouragement means. But encouragement is the opposite of discouragement. In fact, encouragement is the, I wrote it down here, the counteracting medicine for discouragement. In our conversation about encouragement, we talked about the fact that discouragement is Satan's number one tool to eliminate our work in this world. He discourages us, and as a result, when we are discouraged, then we don't encourage. But encouragement starts us. He says, we sent Timothy to you to strengthen you, to encourage your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. Here are the things that you need to think about when you talk about encouragement. Encouragement strengthens people. It strengthens your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you have people that come over to your home or you go to their home, there is this bond that occurs when you start to talk to people and you encourage one another, and all of a sudden you walk away from those times better together than we were separate. In a quarantine life, the isolation that we're incurring upon ourselves is only causing damage to us. It's all it's doing. It's just damaging the people, because we are made for relationship. He says, I want to strengthen you. So when you go face to face with somebody else, understand that your very presence strengthens them. It says, we're not alone. Oh yeah, I remember we were doing this. Yeah, we're in this together. And it encourages us in their faith. You see, our faith is what God is most interested in. He wants us to understand that our faith is so important. In fact, Paul says here that he was afraid that the tempter had gotten into these people's faith and had caused it to be degraded and to be to kind of backsliding in their faith. They weren't very old in Christ, and they were enduring persecution. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Hey, give it 6 months. How are you doing at 6 months in your faith? Well, the tempter could easily get into that. And he says, I was afraid for them. So he sent him to strengthen them, to lift them up, give them encouragement in their faith, and to keep them from being shaken by the troubles they were going through. We're going through plenty of troubles, and let me tell you, I don't think they're going to stop. Okay? I don't see them stopping. I see them getting worse. And as we go into that, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say the reality is that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And so we need to stand with each other and strengthen one another and encourage one another as we go through the struggles, not to get bogged down by the struggles, but look at the target and say, it's the gospel, it's the hope we have, it's the fact that I can be an encouragement to you and we can together do this. Paul says he wanted to strengthen them, he wanted to encourage them and keep them from being shaken. If you want to see the encouragement that's found here, look with me at verse 7. And it says, so we have been greatly. So who's been greatly encouraged? Okay, this is Paul says, so I, Paul, have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. When Timothy comes back, he tells Paul what's going on. And Paul evidently is having a lot of problems also at the same time. And so when Timothy comes back and tells them the good news of what's happened in the lives of these Thessalonians, what happens is Paul is greatly encouraged. And look at the next verse, verse 8. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. It's greatly encouraging to hear someone else's story. How have you been doing? Now, unfortunately, sometimes on Sunday mornings, we get caught up in the quarantine, and we get caught up in the COVID, and we get caught up in the weather, and all these other things. Maybe I can suggest to you that maybe a topic of conversation with someone is, how are you doing in the Lord? How's your faith doing? And if we're really honest with one another, we might say, you know, it wasn't that all that great today or this week. It was kind of a struggle all week. And then the other person might say, well, yeah, it was a struggle for me, but this is what I found God to be good at, you know? He took care of me in that process. You know, this encouragement that we are given is this idea that we care for those people that are around us. We encourage them. And then as a result of inputting your life into somebody else, we see this truth comes to bear on us. Paul says of these people, okay, this is what he says about these people. He says, you are our hope and our joy. You are our proud reward and our crown as we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. You are our pride and our joy. I want you to think about this one a minute. There are only two things that endure in this life forever. They go beyond this life. The Word of God will always be there. Never stops. And the other thing that goes beyond this life is people. People will go with you into eternity. And when you stand before God, when they stand before God, and you see them standing there, and they tell their story about how God saved them and how you were involved in that, they become your pride and your joy. When I see young people who I've had a privilege to invest in their life, and they go out of here and they do things. They go to SALT missions deals, and they go overseas. And I look at them and I say, they're my pride, my joy. They are my hope before God. They are the people I love. When I have life groups that we've walked together through many hard times, I look at those people and I say, they are my pride and my joy. Not because I've given to them, but we're in this together. They become something really significant to me. And those people that you know become significant to you. You see, the people we invest in, the people we give our lives to, the people we love with our presence and with our encouragement and our concern, those are the people that are our pride and our joy. They're the people that are going to be our crown, that we're going to hand to Jesus and say, here, this is the person that I was part of. I didn't waste my life. Don't waste your lives on stuff. Waste your lives on people. And all people are really hard to get along with sometimes. Remember, they go on with you. You see, it's in our concern for people. It's in our family relationships. It's in our encouragement that we lift one another up. We encourage. We bring us together. We put it all together. But the next thing that we understand is that love prays. When Paul gets done with this whole thing, it's just like he often does, he gets done talking about how great God is and what he's done in their lives, and then he starts into this prayer. He says, how we thank God for you because of you, we have a great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you. Does that mean he's praying all the time and doing nothing else? No, it means that every time he thinks of Allah, he prays for him. If you got some people like that you're doing that with, every time you think about him, you're praying for him. You're saying, Lord, I just want to give you this person over here and this person over here. And you know, the wider the scope of your life becomes, the more people you got to pray for, or the more that God brings into your mind to pray for. He says, I pray for them. But what does he pray for these people? So ever wonder what to pray for people? Well, let's look at these verses, beginning with verse 11. It says, here he says, well, let's go up to verse 10. Night and day we pray earnestly for you. And here's the request. Asking God that he may let us see you again and fill in the gaps in your faith. To fill in the gaps in your faith. So pray that you can get into another person's. Pray for an opportunity to get into a person's life so that you can fill in the gaps in their faith. And you say, oh, I haven't got anything to give. Oh, that's a lie of Satan. If God brought them to your mind and he asked you to go be in their presence to be face to face with them, I'll guarantee you that he has given you something to give to them. And you don't even know what it is. But when you start to speak, the Holy Spirit will speak through your heart to them, and you will have increased and filled in the gap in their faith that they needed that day. It is the Holy Spirit who drives this. This is not us. It's not your mental capacity. Let me tell you, it's not your capacity, because this doesn't work that way. The Spirit of God speaks to your mind, gives you this thing. He'll send you to that person, and you'll say something, and they will say, man, you were here for the right time today. This was a God thing. He goes on in verse 11, may God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ bring us to you very soon. You ever long to be with someone? Well, pray. Pray that God will bring you together. And then says, may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. So pray that this person's love may overflow. Pray that God's love would come through them and be given to the people that are around them. Pray that their love would overflow. And that, he says, as a result of their love overflowing, would you make their heart strong? Would you make their heart strong for loving other people? Would you increase their blamelessness? In other words, increase their purity so that they wouldn't sin as much as they did before. And may they be holy as they stand before God the Father. May they be holy. May they be like God, set apart, sanctified. When our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Did you notice that? That Jesus is coming again, but it's not just Jesus who's coming. He's coming with all his holy people. All the people who have died before are coming with him when he comes. And when he comes like that, we're going to be gathered up to meet with them as well, because we're all his people. You see, love prays. Love encourages. Love shows concern. And all of this because we are family, knit together by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we stay on target by understanding that the gospel is that God loves you and he paid already the penalty for your sin. He paid the price. The gospel is that we are given the opportunity, the privilege to share that with people. And then we do that by loving people, by loving those around us. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, if you love one another as I have loved you, then people will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. As we go deeper into this dark abyss that we're moving into, as we go deeper into that darkness, the love that we have for one another is going to shine like a bright light, because there's nothing bright out there right now other than our love for one another. If we will love one another like this, if we will put our presence out there in the face, in other people's face, if we will show our concern, if we will show our encouragement, if we will pray for one another, we will stand like a fire burning in the darkest night, and people are going to be drawn to that fire. Because there's warmth there, there's light, and there's hope when there's no hope in our world. You see, it's coming. And God now is preparing us. Just like he prepared us in February, in January, February, with those words of encouragement. So now he's preparing us through 1 Thessalonians for what's coming. Do we know what's coming? No. Do we know who's in the future? Yes. Jesus is there, just like he's here today. So stay on target by loving other people. This morning at the back, as you go out, there'll be elders there with a basket. That basket is a benevolent offering. I will tell you that our benevolent offering has got quite a bit of money in it right now. Okay, and the reason is because you've been generously giving to it, because we thought we would have great needs. Whenever I see the benevolent fund get up in its numbers, I know that there's a need coming that God hasn't yet been able to meet. So as you go out, if you want to give to that, that's your privilege at that time, but that's what that is. But I also want you to know that if you have a need, a financial need that you cannot meet, okay, would you please talk to me or one of the elders? If you don't know who the elders are, just talk to me. I'll make sure the need gets known to them. But we want to help. This is one of the ways we help one another, by covering needs that can't be covered any other way. And so that's what's going to happen shortly. But I want you to go today just understanding that we are called to love one another, and we can do it by the things we've talked about today. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we know that you are a God of love, and you show concern, and you encourage, and you do pray for us. Jesus prayed for us. And you have called us into your family. And you encourage us, Lord. So, Father, it's in that love, that way of loving, that we are to love one another. So, Father, this week, today, actually, I'm asking that you would help us to love the people you put in our head. And when that name comes to our mind, would we set aside what we're doing and act upon that? Father, give us the capacity to do that today and tomorrow and the next day, so that the love of this church for one another would become so evident that we'd become a flame of fire that people would be drawn to. And that drawing to is drawing to who you are, the Almighty, the awesome Son of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a spiritual need and you'd like to have someone pray for you, just make your way down to the front. I'll be here. A couple elders can come down here, and we'll be glad to pray with you this morning. So God bless you. Have a great week.